Oh, praise the Lord. What a lovely, lovely service so far. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And really, everything that I've got to say this morning has already been expressed in one way or the other. I just want to read a little bit from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here it goes. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, that's foremost, foremost thing before anything else, he's saying, I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received regarding Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen, and it goes on to say, he was seen by hundreds of people. But I was just thinking, just as the meeting was going on, do you know, the great thing about all of this story is that God loves us. And that's what it's all really about, that God loves us. And it's a remarkable thing what Christ did. And we can talk about the cross and the resurrection, which we will. But the foundation of it is that God so loved you. He so loved the world. He so loved his enemies. God loves you. And the expression of Easter is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if we leave that out, it becomes just theoretical. It becomes a machine almost. But here is the great heart of it all, that God so loves us. And that is the most remarkable thing to me personally, for I know a little bit about myself. And I know a little bit about you too. And you know the same about me. But you see, God loves us so generously, so deeply, so wonderfully. And if that is not expressed at this time of year, we've lost the plot. So, a little bit about his resurrection and our resurrection, because they both come together. It's not just his resurrection. Thank God we're involved with his resurrection. It's not just him, but if it was just him, that would have been amazing. But the fact is that it's our resurrection too. Hallelujah. The first thing I want to talk about is the lead up, if you like, to it all. And that says here, Christ died for our sins. It says again, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God. He gave, the thing is, God was giving his Son for our sins. Forgiveness of sins is the absolute bedrock of the gospel. Without forgiveness, there is no release. And he says that you might be delivered from this present evil age. You see, his death brings forgiveness. And it's a wonderful thing to know he loves you and he'll forgive you. Not because of what you've done, just because he loves you. He forgives you. You don't have to earn it. He'll do it. And has done it. It says, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might live for righteousness. Here it talks about the cross as the tree. And the tree was that which is well known in the scriptures. If anyone hung on a tree, he was cursed. So Christ bore our curse, our cutting off from God, our access to God on the tree. The tree, the cross, the same thing. And he bore it so you don't have to bear it. This is all very wonderfully basic I'm talking about, but it's the absolutely wonder of it all, the foundation of God's love, that forgiveness. You and I need to be forgiven. And until that is done, we're slaves of something else. But when forgiveness comes, he releases that slavery. Hallelujah. That's what happened when the children of Israel were in Egypt. As soon as they put the blood on the door and the lamb was slain, God was declaring that he forgave them and the enemy could not touch them. For the lamb was slain that they might be released from their slavery, for their forgiveness. So, great thing. Jesus hanging on the cross, bearing the sins of the world in his own body on the tree, bearing the curse which you should have taken, which I should have taken for the whole world. God was laying the sins of the world upon his Son. It's a great dilemma to us, really, that as in Isaiah it says, he is a just God and our Saviour. And you wonder how he could be just and still forgive us. That's the great question, really. How could God be just in forgiving my sins? There has to be consequences. There has to be an outworking of what I've done, what you have done, what the world is in. But he must remain just in forgiving us. And the only way he's done it is that he himself took the sins that I deserved, the punishment that I deserved. And on that cross, he says, it is finished. I don't really understand everything on that, but I believe that God was taking humanity right back to the very start of things. You know, when he created the earth, created man, and then he said, it is finished. Well, here, something was starting again. Just as it was started perfectly, very good, In the Garden of Eden, everything was good, perfect, and it all went wrong in a big way. Mankind got out of step with God. Mankind was out of place. He was in the wrong standing with God. Sin came, and sin is always results in death. Always. The wages of sin is death. Everyone is bound for death. That is a death that is eternal, that is cut off from God, that will receive the wrath of God on Judgment Day. So God was taking everything back to the very beginning and starting again. And he said something on the cross which was so significant in that sort of picture, if you like. It is finished. In other words, he says, I'm starting a new thing. I'm starting a new world. And I'm starting it with a new people. A new creation had started on the cross. And it began with the forgiveness of sins. It's a kind of Eden situation. A tomb, new tomb, in a garden. We read it, didn't we? A tomb in a garden. Back to the very beginning. Here is something new that's happening. And what happened was that the ladies saw the gardener. Just like Adam and Eve. He was taking them back to the whole new beginning where they were in the garden. And it's all rather wonderful because God is going to and has started a new work which will eventually be completed. But it has been started. It has been won. The victory has been accomplished. On that cross, Jesus stripped the powers of principalities that had captured the whole world. The only grip that the enemy has on anybody is because of sin. And when sin is forgiven, he has no power. The enemy has no power on you. And not only that, but death has no more power on you either. Because you're forgiven. That's the only place the enemy can have hold on anybody if there's sin in them. And that's why it's so important to see what the Bible says. He's died to take away my sin. Hallelujah. You don't have the problem of the fear of death, which was already mentioned. It says that he was raised again because of our justification. That is, justification is means he puts you in a right standing. Now, the resurrection wasn't for our justification in itself. The resurrection was proof that we've been justified. The resurrection is proof that you've been put in the right standing with God. Justification is that which releases us from all the past and put in a right place with God. It's wonderful, really, to know that you're a free man, you're a free woman from all that had got hold of you in the past. And that's the truth. He has victory over sin, death, and the prince of this world, have written down. When Jesus died, he released us from under slavery and stripped the principalities of their armor and made a public display of their defeat. Of course, they still rage around, don't they? But the power of forgiveness is greater. And you must always remember that whatever the enemy comes to you, and he does, like a roaring lion, we're told, that you're forgiven on the basis of the cross. That's the only foundation, that's the only way God will ever work in anybody's life, if they believe in Christ Jesus, that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. When it says according to the scriptures, he's talking about the whole of the New Testament is testifying of this great day. You could go back through all of the Old Testament, and it's all talking about this great day. Right from the very, very beginning, we mentioned a bit about Eden. It all speaks of Calvary. It all speaks of God coming to put the world right again. Put people right again. Put humanity right again. So it's not just forgiveness. It's not just putting me and you and all those who believe in him into a right standing with God, where they have access to the Father. It's actually starting a process where you become the human being God wants you to be. Something new. Something finished of the old, but something new has started. So we start to find that there's a new power in us, a resurrection power, based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As soon as we leave that foundation, you'll find that you have no life to live. God always works on the resurrection, comes after Calvary. It comes after forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of our hearts. God will bring his life in. And as soon as we start to think that we've got any righteousness of our own, we find that we're in a lost cause. As soon as we turn to Christ, and that's why Jesus says, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. We'll find that there's a life there that is beyond our own natural one. That's why Paul says, for me to live is Christ. God was making a new human being out of him. A human being, what the church should be, a company of people who have changed by the power of God, who are living a life that is free from the slavery they once were in. Repentance is part of it, but repentance doesn't bring forgiveness. All that repentance does is to show that you're serious with God. Repentance in itself doesn't make any difference. There's plenty of people in problems in their life which wish they hadn't ever done it, and they, but that in itself doesn't forgive us. Repentance is necessary, according to scriptures, to show that you've turned to God for His grace to start working in your life. And if it doesn't, you're a dead man. So, it does require it. And repentance is on the truth that God will conquer all that which is unpleasant to His sight in us. So, to say yes to the resurrection is to say yes to a new world. So it's not just that we're here this morning praising God, thanking Him for His wonderful work on Calvary, that He's risen again. But we're saying yes to resurrection because we have started into a new world. And we're going to live according to the Spirit of God and not according to ourselves. We've become alive to Him and we live unto Him. We've been released from the Pharaoh of the past, the bondage that we are in, by the blood of the Lamb. So, you know, we come against principalities and powers in this life. But we must stand on the truth that we do not belong to the devil's realm anymore. Hallelujah. Sin has been conquered. Death has been conquered. The whole lot has been conquered at Calvary. It is finished. He is starting a new world for you and for me. And we live it by faith, by trust. You'll go through all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of feelings, and so on and so forth. But the great truth is that they have been dealt with on Calvary. Everything that is objectional to you and to God, sin has been dealt with. And consequently, we have no fear of judgment in the last day. Because we have been delivered from the wrath to come. And there will be a judgment. There will be a wrath to come. But the verdict now is that you are not condemned. That's what God's verdict on everyone who has received the gospel of Jesus Christ. The verdict is no condemnation. Hallelujah. It's written, and that's not just on the great judgment day, but it is now. You know, you can know now and believe now that there is now no condemnation that those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. According to a new world, according to God's great plan, that He wanted humanity to be on this earth and it was spoiled, but He started again on Calvary. It was the great fulcrum of the whole universe and the whole of time was on that day, Easter Day. And it's here, that's why we're celebrating it this morning. A new power to live as a human should be. Do you know, we talk about forgiveness, so blessed forgiveness when God says you're forgiven. But the same applies that we must forgive one another. Because if we do not, we become the prisoner. Doesn't matter what we believe, doesn't matter if we're a Christian or if we've got some kind of ministry or whatever, if we do not forgive another of God's people, we're still in slavery. That is the great principle of love. God loved us and He forgave us by making His Son a poured out sacrifice on the cross. And he says, unless you do the same, you will not know the freedom that I have wrought on Calvary for you. And I've known folk that have not forgiven, and it's turned into a poison into them, and they've become prisoners in themselves. And I exhort you, even if there's anybody here or anybody listening to you, against you, we might say, well, it's not just they were wrong and so on and so forth. Well, I was wrong and God forgave me in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Bible says. It says, forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. Not because you were right, because I was all wrong and he still forgave me. And what a release. The prison doors fly open and I'm free. I'm free. Glory be to God. And the devil has got no say anymore because I've forgiven my brother and I know I'm forgiven too. The resurrection is the result of death's defeat. Amen. The resurrection is the result of death's defeat. Hallelujah. And forgiveness is the result of sins forgiven. Sin's defeat. Forgiveness is a result of sin's defeat. He did it all on Calvary. Amen. That cross is the most amazing thing that heaven and earth has ever witnessed. The cross is a door. It's a door unto eternal life. It's a door unto a life that now is, the Bible says. It's a door that the great shepherd has opened that the sheep might go in through the blood that was shed on Calvary. It's access to eternal life. It's access to God. You can come boldly, the Bible says, unto the throne of grace. And I sometimes think to myself, is that possible? I know. Except without Calvary, I could not do that. Well, God has great hope for his people because of what his Son has done. If he's not raised again, we could have read it on, we're still in our sins. We're still destined for eternal death. If he's not raised, there's no proof that he's forgiven us. But he was seen by hundreds of people and testified even thousands of years later that God has done something in people's hearts that they know he's alive. They know he's risen from the dead, that he's conquered our enemy, he's conquered our sin, he's conquered our death, and he's started something in us that we can live in God's world right now, and which will be completed one day when we see him face to face. Amen.